Hey, I'm in Japan. I'm Frank Ling.
And from Chicago, Illinois, I'm Charles Lee.
And you're listening to the Grok Science Show.
That's right. It's a weekly look at the world of science, technology, and their effects on our daily lives. Coming up on today's program, Mr. Steve Pavlanis will join us to discuss the life less anxious.
So stay tuned for all of this.
Plus the Grokatron 5000.
And our world-famous question a week.
Coming right up.
Here.
On the Grok's
Science Show.
To the Grok's Science Show. Well, anxiety can often be a double-edged sword. On the one hand, a little anxiety may be a natural mechanism for motivating behavior. However, too much anxiety can be debilitating. For those who suffer from extreme social anxiety and panic attacks, living with a condition can be a constant struggle, one that is often treated with medication. But is there another way? Join us today to discuss this issue is Mr. Steve Pavlanis. Mr. Pavlanis has researched and compiled works on the subject of panic attack, anxiety, and psychology in response to his own challenges dealing with the issue. His new release, A Life Less Anxious, Freedom from Panic Attacks and Social Anxiety Without Drugs or Therapy, explores this issue for a general audience. Mr. Pavlanis, thank you very much for joining us today on the Grok Science Show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, it's certainly a pleasure to have you on the program. This is certainly a very fascinating book, A Life Less Anxious, in which you talk about dealing with anxiety without drugs or therapy. I'm curious, why did you decide to write the book?
Well, really, panic and anxiety came into my life about 10 years ago. I was completely blindsided, like many people are that suffer from panic attacks. And I really struggled with it for 5 years. It really took a lot out of me and kind of sent me off into a downward spiral of depression and just frustration. I wrote the book because I know how hard it can be to free yourself from, you know, the mind traps, the constant depression, the constant worry, the paranoia that tens of millions of people suffer from worldwide with extreme anxiety. So I wanted to provide a roadmap to help people get themselves better a natural way without having to depend upon mind-numbing medications or years of traditional talk therapy. I wanted to help show people that anyone can do this because, believe me, I was as bad off as anyone. So I wanted to basically help people move in the right direction and find relief a natural way.
And did you have experience dealing with the traditional approaches yourself?
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, what usually happens when someone is suffering from severe bouts of anxiety is inevitably they end up in the emergency room. So it's so demoralizing to go in there with what you think might be a heart attack, and the doctor just looks at you and says, it's just anxiety, relax. So a lot of people go through this, myself included, on numerous occasions when I thought, okay, this is definitely a heart attack. This can't be anxiety. And sure enough, it really was. So it's a very frustrating thing to suffer from, and the traditional treatment is to basically numb the symptoms. And that's what a lot of these drugs, such as Xanax and other tranquilizers, do. They just kind of turn down the volume on your reactions to your anxiety, so you're not as cognizant of your worrisome thoughts or your racing heartbeat. You just kind of go through life muted. And I also sought out lots of different forms of psychotherapy and traditional therapy. And, you know, I don't think talking about my childhood really solved my anxiety problems today. I wanted to know, how do I deal with what's happening with my mind and my body today? And the traditional forms of treatment just really don't do that when it comes to anxiety. At least that was my finding.
And why do you think that it still persists then throughout the medical community?
I think because a lot of people who study anxiety and the ways to treat it haven't suffered from it themselves, at least not in these extreme levels. So I think there's probably a lack of firsthand knowledge of what it really is like. And just in general, anxiety is a pretty mysterious thing when it comes to medical science. How we treat it really hasn't been pinpointed. You know, there's not a magic pill that you pop and, oh, the next day you just don't worry anymore. It just doesn't quite work that way.
A lot of people might not actually be sure what exactly is a panic attack.
It's quite a scary ordeal. Like I said, a lot of people that end up in the emergency room that believe they're having heart attacks are often just having a panic attack. Now, what it feels like is an extreme just wave of dread and fear that overtakes you, that you're losing control, that you might have a heart attack. Physical symptoms such as pounding heartbeats, sweating, trembling, muscle contractions, your eyes get dilated. I mean, you're activating your fight or flight system at a very inappropriate time, and you're not sure why, but you've basically tricked your mind into triggering that system because you've told it you're fearful, you're afraid. And what happens is your physical symptoms scare you even further and really do make you feel like there might be something wrong. This might be a heart attack. This might be something terrible happening to me. Now, most panic attacks, when you peak and you really get to that terrible peak state of just complete worry and disarray, most of my panic attacks only lasted anywhere from maybe 5 to 20 seconds. And then after that, your body just simply cannot maintain that high level of adrenaline and sugar release into your bloodstream. So it starts to bring itself down, and you do eventually calm down. But it's the threat of going through that again and not knowing what causes it that causes a lot of people to really go off the deep end with anxiety.
Hmm. Does it really become very debilitating as a condition?
Absolutely. Like any other disability or mental difficulty you cause yourself, it's really easy for this one to get out of hand. So what typically happens, and certainly what happened to me, is I was a pretty anxious person. I was very reactive with my emotions. I had a short temper, and little things always got to me. And I think it all came to a head when I finally had my first panic attack back in 2002, I believe it was. After that, I just didn't know what I could believe or trust when it came to what I was feeling and thinking, and that kind of sends you down a downward spiral, really, where you're just not sure what's happening anymore. You become more and more fearful. You know, if you do begin having panic attacks, you're not sure what exactly causes them, what's going to cause the next one, and most importantly, when is the next one going to occur? So what happens is you become agoraphobic, where you avoid more and more social situations in which you can't flee or leave the scene easily. And as your paranoia and your fear grows, your list of safe places you can go to greatly shrinks until you almost are homebound and really don't do anything socially for the fear of another panic attack or just flipping out and losing control.
So in a sense, it becomes sort of a vicious cycle that feeds on itself.
It absolutely is. And fear-based, fear just feeds upon more fear, and you just dig yourself a deeper hole.
Hmm. Early in the book, traditional treatments seem to be helping out, but in the end, they just sort of lead to relapses.
I think what it is the traditional treatments are sort of a Band-Aid. You know, they kind of turn down the volume, as I said, on the symptoms. You may even think and believe you're starting to get better, and then out of nowhere, you can completely have a full relapse back into full panic mode, and that's certainly what happened to me. I had tried numerous medications, close to 10 in all, antidepressants, anti-anxiety pills, some of which include Xanax and other types of tranquilizers. At one point, I was about 3 or 4 months in on one medication, and I thought, hey, this is it. Great. I've got this thing beat. No problem. You know, I have some weird side effects that I'm experiencing, but if it means I don't have any more panic attacks, that's okay. And then one day I was in a workshop for work. It's like a one-day training session with about 30 people, and we had to introduce ourselves to the room. Now, I had never really had much of a problem with public speaking, but for some reason, when I was waiting to introduce myself to the course, you know, to my classmates, I just started panicking internally, like, what if I can't say my name? What if they can hear how nervous I am? And then I got more nervous, and then I got more scared. And before I knew it, I was having a panic attack while I was waiting to introduce myself to this room full of people. That's something that had never happened, and this is while I was on the medication. And it was that day that I decided, you know, this stuff is just not working. It's incredibly frustrating, and I feel awful and terrible while I'm on this medication. And I don't feel like my personality even comes out. I feel just kind of mutes everything in your life. So that day I just quit cold turkey and said, I'm never taking this again. There's something else that must be causing my problems.
Wow. And so what was your journey like trying to find other solutions then?
It was a long journey. It was filled with many, many dead ends and frustrating outcomes. What I did was I just threw myself and really attacked this thing with a full head of steam. I looked into all sorts of different inspirational books and materials. I listened to anxiety audio programs. I tried to listen to things from Eastern religions and belief systems, such as Buddhism. I tried meditation. I tried listening to many different motivational speakers from current days and even from the past. Research different religions, you know, how do they deal with stress, anxiety, with these basic human feelings that have been around since humans have existed? So how did people treat this in the past millennia? That's what I came to, and what I threw into the book was really what worked for me. You know, there's so many things out there that can help you, and I wanted to provide people a head start and not go down the wrong path that I went down that didn't prove to be fruitful at all for me.
So what was it that you found that really able to help you deal with this sort of panic attacks?
Well, as far as in the heat of the moment, there are certainly many different ways to look at this. I can first address heat of the moment. So if you are feeling anxious and you do start to experience panic-like symptoms, there are quite a few different physical relaxation techniques you can do to kind of help snap yourself out of it. There's many different breathing exercises you can do. Probably one of the most helpful ones is a progressive muscle relaxation exercise where you essentially squeeze and contract in different sequences all the muscles in your body and then slowly exhale. What this does is it enables your sympathetic nervous system to kick in and take over and slow down your body naturally. This will help to slow your heartbeat down, which really helps to reduce your fear, produce a calming effect. So a lot of breathing, different muscle contractions, like I said, really can help snap you out of it. There's also many things mentally you can do, visualization exercises, ways to kind of snap your tension away from your panic, away from your fear. That's for heat of the moment, but for overall treatment, for anyone who's suffering from too much anxiety, there's a whole laundry list of life changes you really can make. A lot of these include really analyzing how do you think, because it's really your mind and your thoughts that are getting you into trouble with anxiety. It's learning to examine when your thoughts go down the wrong path. Are you thinking catastrophically? Are you most likely thinking you're a glass half empty kind of person if you go down the path of anxiety? You have to take much better physical care of yourself, and this includes regular physical exercise and physical exertion. You need to have some time in silence every day, just sitting still. Blaise Pascal, famous scientist and philosopher, once said that all men's miseries derive from being unable to sit in a quiet room alone. And I think that really does hit home with a lot of people in today's society, that we just don't know how to slow down. We don't know how to turn down the volume on all the things running through our mind, and that's what spending time in silence or even meditation can provide. So along with all these other things, there's many other factors you can do. Just slow down, make sure you take more breaks, make sure you eat a healthier diet, take better care of yourself physically. And also physical exercise and diet can help reduce insomnia, reduce your stress. More of a whole life approach to not only reduce anxiety, but stress, insomnia, all these other terrible things that keep so many of us up at night can be reduced by really just taking a hard look at each area of your life and trying to remove the harmful things that you're doing and increase all the healthy things you can do for yourself, both mentally and physically. And there's a huge list.
Do you think it's very difficult just quieting down?
It can be. It's certainly a hard transition, very difficult. Like I do mention in the book and different talks I've given, that your mind is first going to resist because it doesn't know how to be quiet. Most of us have just never really given our brains much of a break. And so the first time you meditate, you might not get anywhere. In fact, people that are having a lot of anxiety problems, myself included, it took me about 2 or 3 sessions of just sitting quietly, alone in a room, 10 to 20 minutes each time. It took me a few sessions before I even felt better. In fact, the first couple of times I did it, I almost had a panic attack because it was so scary to just be sitting there thinking about nothing. So it's spending time like that and just getting used to these things and easing your way into them slowly that makes them more familiar. And before you know it, having a quiet, clear mind becomes a much more natural thing than constantly having a million things running through your head. But it does certainly take much time and practice. Really, all of these things were learned from listening to different programs, different meditation programs, reading a lot of texts on relaxation, like I said, Eastern philosophies, Buddhism. And then I just experimented with different techniques, different approaches, and until I really fine-tuned what really worked for me. And there are certainly many different forms of relaxation and meditation out there. I practice different ones really depending on how I'm feeling that day. Sometimes I'll meditate in complete silence and really just try to clear my head of everything. Other days it's more of a focal meditation where I try to focus on positives in my life or give thanks and show gratitude for everything in my life or paint a picture of what I'd like to see my future become and just focus upon that during a meditation session. So it's a lot of fun because you can get very creative with it and customize it to what your body is responding to, your mind is responding to the most. But I think it's just most important that you get out there and you do try different techniques, really that you're doing something to begin with, and then you can fine-tune it and see what is really working well.
So the advice is really for each individual to find a combination of things that work for them?
I'd say so, yes. What I do provide is a long list of different techniques, both physically and mentally, that you can apply to your life. Just see which ones you respond to. I think it's important to, especially with meditation and relaxation sessions, to certainly play around with different variables. Do you do better in complete silence? Do you do better with ambient nature sounds or music playing in the background? Do you do better focusing on your breathing? Or is it more peaceful for you to picture a peaceful pond in the middle of a forest? You know, everyone's different.
Does it help to have other people as support during this process?
Absolutely. I think it's very tough if you go at it alone. And I know it's something that a lot of people don't share with their friends and family. I do, however, think it is important to disclose it to those very close to you. I didn't broadcast it to all of my friends, but a close few I did tell. My family didn't know about it. There are huge networks that support this, especially there's many online communities where you can find, you can ask questions, you know, in many different forms. In fact, we have one on our website as well that you can ask a questions anonymously about what you're going through, about your anxiety and what you're feeling, what you're thinking. Is this normal? Does anyone else get this? And it helps you to know that you're not alone and that millions of people go through this every day, and you can beat it. Millions of people have been able to recover from this, and you can get your life back together.
For those people out there who are interested, the website is?
Oh, the website is www.alifelessanxious.com.
Do you have general words of advice, take-home message for all those people who might be suffering in quiet with social anxiety or panic attacks?
Absolutely. Hang in there. Don't give up. It can be a tricky recovery. It is one of those things that there is no quick fix for. It will take time, but you can get there. I think the key is you have to just stay focused on your end goal, that you can get better, you can overcome this, to take it one step at a time and understand you will have relapses, you will have setbacks, but in the big picture of it, as long as you're moving towards your goal and you stay determined and you stay after it, you can find freedom. You can get there.
What's the reception for the book been like thus far?
Book's been very well received. It's very cool, media requests, having other people write me anonymously through my website and in the forums. It's been very cool. It's very nice, and I've also gotten some more invitations to speak here in Chicago to some anxiety groups at different treatment centers. So it's been very exciting, and what it is, it's very rewarding because I know what it's like to go through this, and I know how lost you can feel, and that's why I wrote this book, is because I wrote something, and I put something out there that I would have loved to have had when I was going through my problems, and especially from someone who knows exactly what these things feel like and you know how frustrating, debilitating this can be. So it's been very exciting that the book is out there, and I'm just happy that it's getting into the hands of the people that need it.
Well, it really is a great book, and I certainly hope a lot of people out there will take a look at it. The book, again, is called A Life Less Anxious, Freedom from Panic Attacks and Social Anxiety Without Drugs or Therapy. Mr. Pavlanis, thank you very much for joining us today on the Grok Science Show.
Thank you very much, Charles. Appreciate it.
And you were just listening to Mr. Steve Pavlanis discussing A Life Less Anxious. This is the Grok Science Show. Well, coming up in just a few minutes, it's the Grokatron 5000 and the world-famous Question of the Week. So, stay tuned.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry. Be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry. Be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry. Be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
All right, it's time to play the game, the Grokatron 5000. It's our supercomputer, formerly known as Deep Blue. Today, the Grokatron 5000 has chosen the topic panic or chill out. So for the following five individuals, the Grokotron 5000 would like to know if you think they should panic or just chill out, and maybe a little reason why. Are you ready to play the game?
Sure.
Okay. All right, here we go. Panic or chill out. Person number one, the golfer Tiger Woods.
Ooh, wow. I don't know. Tiger's got a lot of problems right now. I'm sure he's already gone through the panic, so I would probably tell Tiger to go talk to your close friends, try to chill out, get your bearings, and see if you can repair at least some of the damage.
Good thing.
Yeah.
All right, number two is the Fed chairman, Ben Bernanke.
Yeah, again, it's almost the same answer. I'm sure he's probably panicking, but I'd hate to give the advice as an anxiety book author that anyone should panic, but I would say he should be a little bit wary of what's happening.
All right. Okay, number three is Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil. Is he in the news lately for anything I don't know about?
Not that I know of, just generally giving advice on TV.
You know, I'd say Dr. Phil, I would say chill out because I think I've never seen his show, just clips of it. And he does seem to get a little bit riled up. So I would tell Dr. Phil probably just to chill out a little bit.
Might be good advice for him, I think. All right, number four is the quarterback, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre. Well, his Vikings have looked pretty strong, but they slipped a bit here. I would say panic or chill out depends on who they're playing. but he's looked pretty strong thus far this year. So he's in pretty good shape, I'd say. I think they're going to do pretty well.
All right, and finally, number five, panic or chill out, it's the President of the United States, Barack Obama.
Ooh, well, things have been, we started out really good, and I know we've gotten a lot of flack in the past, 6 months especially. I would say, again, I don't want our president panicked for sure, because he does have all sorts of control in that office. However, I would tell him, try to chill out a little bit and not listen to too much of what other people say if you know you're doing the right thing. I hope he does.
I think we all do. All right. Well, Steve, Mr. Pavlanis, I want to thank you very much for sticking around, playing the game. And again, of course, talking about your fascinating new book, which is called A Life Less Anxious, Freedom from Panic Attacks and Social Anxiety Without Drugs or Therapy. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Charles. Appreciate it.
And that's all for this week's edition of the Grok Science Show.
Make sure you tune in next week for more from the world of science and technology.
If you'd like to contact us here, you can email us at science@groks.net. For Grok Science, I'm Frank Ling.
And I'm Charles Lee. Make sure you also see us on the web at www.groks.net. Have a great afternoon and keep on grokking.